Good afternoon, everyone. This is Renee in Ohio, and today is Monday, March 27th. I opened up our local alternative news weekly called The Other Paper recently, looking to see if there's any coverage of the new We Believe group or of the upcoming lecture / discussion with Jim Wallace. I've been excited that this group is finally here, that there is somebody speaking a voice, speaking a message of true compassion and, you know, doing unto others, looking out for the least of these. So I'm glad there finally is such a group, and I was really disappointed to find instead The Other Paper had a cover story entitled The Dwindling Religious Middle. I thought, isn't that a bit premature? I mean, in my experience, there isn't even widespread awareness yet that there are faith voices speaking out from a view other than the far right. I'm sure, for example, that many more people were aware of the Justice Sunday event. There were three of them. The first one was famously associated with Senator Bill Frist. Many more people must have been aware of that than the diverse interdenominational events that were held in response to them. Over the years, I've often heard secular progressives complain that people of faith aren't being vocal enough in countering the message of the religious right. And I find that really frustrating, because the truth is, yes, they are. We are. We're out here. We're speaking up. The problem is that these groups don't get nearly as much press, maybe just because they aren't inflammatory enough. The Other Paper, which has given front page in-depth attention to pastors like Rod Parsley and Russell Johnson, seems intent on being part of the problem. When they finally do get around to acknowledging the people of faith who are advocating a more compassionate, neighborly way of putting faith into action, it's only in the context of describing the plight of the religious middle. In my mind, the fact that a letter Reverend Tim Aaron sent out to dozens of area pastors in November has blossomed into a new organization built around the common ground shared by diverse people of faith should be by itself front page news. But the Other Paper article glossed over that news on its way to covering the plight of ministers who don't want to be political. There are a number of things I find troubling about this article, and at a later time I really want to go into detail about this idea of truly separating faith or religion and politics. I think that any time we advocate for justice rather than for charity, we're being political by definition. But right now what I want to focus on is the whole idea of this false dichotomy. The idea that even in an alternative publication, they fall into the same tired black and white way of seeing the world as most mainstream news sources do. It's right versus left, with us or against us. Can't we please just try to have some dialogue that doesn't force a dichotomy where one doesn't exist? For example, in the article, there's a direct quote saying, Wallace would like to position himself as a moderate, but the fact that he's embraced by the left probably gives away his proper place in the political religious spectrum. Well, thank you very much for speaking for him. I'm sure he appreciates that. Without translating the words he chooses into stark black and white terms, people might be forced to grapple with the notion that in the political religious spectrum, it's just that, a spectrum, with a whole range of hues and gradations. But you notice what the writer did. He conveyed the message that Wallace is really aligned with the left, but he didn't quite say that in so many words. He left himself some wiggle room, some plausible deniability. But getting back to this idea that there's a spectrum, there really is a full continuum of viewpoints, from liberal to conservative, on any number of issues. Some people may be more conservative on issues of personal liberties, but liberal on economic issues, for example, or vice versa. Of course, when you step into the voting booth, you typically are faced with a series of either-or decisions. Do I vote for this candidate or that one? Yes or no on this particular issue? In a time when this country has a president known for such stark statements as, you're either with us or against us, and when the religious leaders who do get the most media attention frame political issues in similarly stark terms, it's easy to fall into that type of black and white thinking. But that doesn't mean that they should. Certainly anyone who wishes to call him or herself a journalist should be able to see that issues are more complex than that, and if they're worth their salt, they should be able to find a way to communicate these complex issues to the public in a way that can be understood. We must learn to find common ground and work to create win-win outcomes. The We Believe group, in my opinion, is on the right track. If you look at the homepage, the tagline is Uniting Diverse Religious Voices to Achieve Social Justice. By implication, David Niven, the writer of that article, casts We Believe as liberal, just because they're a group counter to Russell Johnson and Rod Parsley. Even though they do represent a broad range of positions on the spectrums of faith and public policy. I'm sure there are members who, on the hot-button issues of homosexuality and abortion, have views that are similar to those espoused by Rod Parsley and Russell Johnson. But they disagree with them on other issues, and they have covenanted with the rest of the membership of We Believe to work together on issues where they share common ground. The group as a whole shares, as they say, the strong belief that we must act and speak in public ways to support the poor, the children, and those who are voiceless and unrepresented in our times. And that is precisely who suffers if we continue to perpetuate the myth that issues of faith and politics are black and white and center around a couple of highly divisive issues. It pained me, and yes, even angered me, to see the needs of those Jesus called the least of these go unaddressed while people of faith were persuaded of the dire need to vote for a constitutional amendment to make same-sex marriage even more illegal in Ohio than it already was. Sometimes it's okay to be angry, and injustice does make me angry. It angers me with so much at stake to see people who purport to be journalists taking their cues from people who, for their own political purposes, want to paint issues of faith and politics in stark, black and white, with us or against us terms. They need to do better than that. As much as I don't need something else on my to-do list, it is our job to call them on it when they start dumbing things down to the point that they are misrepresenting the truth. Oh, and did I mention that I really do have enough to do already? Thank you very much. But then I hear about people like Maggie Kuhn, and I feel inspired, humbled, and a little sheepish that I'm not actually doing more. And if you don't know who Maggie Kuhn is, I'll share a little bit. She was the founder of the Grey Panthers. And as an article I read about her online said, she changed the face of society regarding the elderly. She was a committed, hard-working woman who at age 65 began an organization that continues her tradition of fighting for a better life for all. Her advice to those who want to make change in the world is, go to the people at the top. That is my advice to anyone who wants to change the system, any system. Don't moan and groan with like-minded souls. Don't write letters or place a few phone calls and then sit back and wait. Leave safety behind. Put your body on the line. Stand before the people you fear and speak your mind, even if your voice shakes. When you least expect it, someone may actually listen to what you have to say. Well-aimed slingshots can topple giants. Well, fine, Maggie. Okay, you do make a compelling point. I guess enough of the whining, and it really is time to get back to work. I guess I'm going to keep on keeping on, and I know that slingshot is around here somewhere.